Good morning and welcome to the Community Living Show on the NCRA networks. And this is our one-hour show hosted here live at UBC Radio, CITR, 101.9 FM.
Got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
And good morning again. Hi, this is Michael Rubin, and you're listening to Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks. Again, here by myself. Kelly is away for another couple weeks, but we do have a special guest on the phone lines, and her name is Judy Van Newkirk. She is the author of IVF, Birthing Your Entrepreneurial Success. Okay, so let's speak with Judy. Hello, Judy, are you there?
I am. How are you, Michael? Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So how badly did I butcher your name?
Actually, very well. I've had so many different versions of it. You were close. It's Van Newkirk.
By Newkirk, okay.
Yes.
When we had our Skype conversation to set this all up, I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your last name, so I just did the best I could.
You did so well. Thank you.
Yeah. So usually I'd like to get into people's stories, but in this particular case, your book seems just the way you sent me this blurb about your book. That the IVS stands for Inspiration, Value, and Finance. And then you get into, in the blurb, you get into what inspiration and value actually mean, and that they have to actually appear in the exact order that you have them. So So let's jump into that for a second. Because I am an entrepreneur myself, and I actually help other entrepreneurs with their crowdfunding and their equity funding.
Right.
So I'm actually at letter F according to your book. So let's get into that a little bit. Because you clearly defined what inspiration and value should be.
Yeah, well, inspiration it comes from what your passions are and what your talents and gifts are, and they are created not only what you're born with, but also what you learn as you grow up, specifically in your younger years. And also, as many people don't really like to acknowledge, your talents and skills and gifts are also formed through the challenges you experience in life as well. And all of that combined together is when you combine all those together, that's when you are most inspired. That's when you're most alive. That's when you're most passionate. And that's where you're going to be going hell for leather after the goals that you set down for yourself. And that's where your confidence and your self-belief lies. And in that exact spot, in that exact space, in all of that encapsulated is your inspiration, and you're unstoppable. Literally, you will move mountains when you find, acknowledge, and work to that niche.
That makes
sense. And whereas value, on the other hand, comes from that inspiration. because when you are in that, when you've got that niche right down perfected, and you are in so inspired that nothing will stop you, you will offer value in whatever it is that you're doing. Now, entrepreneurship is way more than what we typically in society understand it is. Typically in society, we understand entrepreneurship means a business owner or somebody who's self-employed. Entrepreneurship is way more than that. We are born entrepreneurs as we negotiate our way around life and through life. And as we sell and market ourselves on a daily basis in life, not just in exchange for service and money, but also in relationships and friendships, everything. It's all about entrepreneurship. Even in work, if you're employed, if you adopt the mindset of an entrepreneur and employ and apply the strategies of an entrepreneur in your role, in your career as an employee, you're unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable, because you are in charge rather than being charged of. And when you're in that role of inspiration and entrepreneurial inspiration, you will just deliver tremendous, authentic, incredible value. And when you deliver that value, that incredible value, that unstoppable value, finance naturally flows. It's a natural result. It cannot not happen. It would literally be defying the laws of the universe. It cannot not happen.
Now, you mentioned the laws of the universe. I usually speak of the laws of the universe as the most important laws that we could ever abide to. Because literally, we don't have any other choice. It just happens. It's just the way it has to go, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Since you're talking about inspirations and passions, things like that, what are your inspirations and passions?
To quote a incredible entrepreneur that I have an enormous amount of respect for, a guy called Peter Diamandis, he encapsulates the word what your inspiration is in determining your massive transformative purpose. So another way of saying what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is empowering people globally. That everything I do, every waking moment I have, I seek and figure out and scheme and plan to empower people. And the more people, the better. And that comes from my own history, my own challenges, my own voids throughout my younger years of being overpowered. So my inspiration is empowering people. If it's a friend, if it's a company, if it's a client, if it's a project I'm embarking on, if it's whatever it is, I am most inspired when I'm empowering people.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Now, I know that how you got connected with this particular show was because of a connection, because right now you live in the UK, is that right?
That's correct. I live in London City. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And you actually were connected to me by someone who lives in Calgary. And that shows how inspirational you really are, that you can actually inspire people. And from across the Atlantic, you can still inspire people and connect people and be connected by people. So it shows a lot about you.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael. Thank you. But you know what? When you are truly inspired, people around you are inspired. And they will work with you and conspire with you equally to encourage and support your aim. That is that's what happens with inspiration. Inspiration is addictive. It inspires others. It's like if you smile to somebody else, you're going to make them smile. It's the same thing. And the more inspired you are, the more you inspire others, and the more others want to help you. And what this project I'm involved with at the moment the Digital Bra, which is a project around empowering women specifically. I mean, I'm getting people, my team is from all over the world, and I haven't met half of them. And there's just more and more people coming on board every day offering their support like you just cannot believe. I literally hairs stand up on my arms when I think about the inpouring of support, because I am so inspired. It's inspiring other people because it is so in line with what I believe I've been born to do. And we all have that. Every single one of us has that point of inspiration that is so magnificent that miracles literally happen, and you will move mountains because others around you will conspire with you to ensure that what it is you wish to achieve will happen.
Yeah, I totally know that is true. That when you lead into your passion and your purpose, that just everything just starts to open up. The universe says, no, this is where you are. You're finally on your path, and you just flow through. And that happened with me with radio and media, getting people's stories told. It just started just to happen. People just kept coming, you know, wanting to have their story told. So in a blog post that you have on LinkedIn about the Digital Bra, you mentioned something about emotions behind how you saw your own body. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the Digital Bra is a lot more than a bra. Mm-hmm. It is so much more about than a bra. It's about opening the conversation of how we feel about ourselves, and we spend so much energy every single freaking day, so much energy negative talking to ourselves, talking negative, putting ourselves down negatively. Don't like our eyes, don't like our legs, don't like the breasts, don't like how big they are, how small they are, don't like my skin, whatever it is. It's just we spend so much energy on that. And one of the phenomenal transformations I had during my own healing process was taking a look at all the back chat and negative self-speak and self-loathing I had about my body, about me and who I was, taking a real, real deep, honest look at that, and where did it come from, and having literally an epiphany, you know, saying, well, you know what, when I got into that space, when I got in there, I saw that, and I listed them, all the nasty things I constantly say about myself. No matter how successful, no matter how much people see me as successful and achieving whatever it is I want to achieve, little old me, I sit there and I say, I've got horrible legs. I don't like my eyes. I don't like my breasts. They're too big. My legs are too short. My hair is frizzy unless I control it. You know, all this stuff all the time. And then I had this incredible epiphany when I literally sat in it and truly acknowledged, rather than trying to run away from that negative back talk of myself, I realized that without those imperfections, if you want to call it, I would not be who I am. I would not have done what I have done in my life. I would not be doing what I am doing now and what my goal and my dream is to achieve. Without the marriage of my perfections and my imperfections, I wouldn't be who I am now. And that applies to every single person on the planet. So those very imperfections make who I am, and I like who I am. And that is the goal of what we all need to be. We need to get to that point where we love ourselves. And when you start loving yourself, you empower yourself. When you empower yourself, there is no stopping you. It is the most magnificent place to be, because your imperfections are as important as your perfections, because otherwise you're only a half a person. And what can you achieve as being a half a person?
That is very true. I wish I could get you to, like, repeat that whole thing all over again three times for our listeners. Because some of our listeners may have just recently found out that that they have something debilitating happen to them, or something like that. Because a lot of our listeners are disabled, and I don't really like the term disabled. I'd rather say differently able, because we all have an ability someplace, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I've loved it to like have you repeat that several times, so that people understand that it is true that you have the ability to move forward.
Yeah, I've actually, sorry to interrupt you, Michael. I just actually recorded it, actually. I got so many good responses about it. I actually recorded it and put it into a short little 7-minute video. It's on YouTube and it's on my Facebook page as well. So,
Okay. Then I'll make sure I connect you on our Facebook page, because we're friends now on Facebook, I believe, right? And I'll make sure that I connect you onto the Community Living Radio Facebook page, and if you could put that up there, that would be awesome. Because these are messages that people need to hear. And growing up, we're told other stuff, and I do mean stuff. It's things that we have to learn over time to get rid of, right?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. We're told the irony. Yeah, just to elaborate on what you just said. When we grow up, when we're small, we unashamedly own and luxuriate and glorify our strengths and our talents and our aspirations and our dreams and our beauty and our brilliance. Mm-hmm. But at some point between mid teenage and late teenage, that all gets suppressed. It all becomes an embarrassment. It becomes egotistical. It becomes arrogant to celebrate mm-hmm. your brilliance, and you start to suppress it.
Yeah. How many times did you hear, "Who do you think you are?"
Yeah.
Or a statement like that. They would try to say, "Well, you can't go that far. You have to stay back at the level I am." So, just so everybody out there listening, Judy's talking about her frizzy hair. There's a picture of her on Facebook, and how could you not have frizzy hair to go with that smile?
I appreciate that. Thank you. But I have to spend, if I do... want to have nice straight hair, I have to spend like an hour ironing it with these straightening iron thingies. So anyway, well, and I've accepted that. That's okay. It's my wild look and it's my tame look.
Yeah. Well, my hair isn't much different than yours. Picture your hair just color it black. And we got about the same. It does take that long. I actually had to pay people to flat iron my hair. So we need to skip to a break here. And then we'll come back to Judy and we'll laugh some more and hear more of her story and be inspired more. So just hang on.
And self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to Life Saving.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you. For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically.
And thank you for listening to the NCRA Networks and CITR 101.1. And we're going to go back to Judy.
Hi.
Hi, Judy. And you can see why Kelly does a much better job on controls than I do. I'm a little half out of control here. actually, wish he was here today to talk to you also. He is I never say enough about how great he actually is. Because he's one of those people that our society would say, oh, well, he has autism. How could he actually ever do anything? And he does so much on two different radio stations that we're both on that it's just a phenomenal guy. So I hope, Kelly, you're actually listening to me say that. So, but Judy, go ahead. We were talking about things that we heard growing up that would put us down rather than inspire, especially through teen years. And how did you eventually overcome all that?
When we, the one thing that, you know, science has proven is that whatever we hear, I mean, we all know the story of give me a child when they're seven, I'll give you the adult. But the science behind that is that our brain wave activity changes from when we're neonatal to we're about 1, 2 years old, then till 5, and then till 7, 8, and then 12. By the time we're in 12, we're in full beta, which is what we are as adults all the time. Now, given that those different levels of brain waves, we react differently to the information around us all the time. Now, as we're growing up until the age of, literally up until as you go through the delta and alpha stages of brain activity, you literally are just a sponge. So whatever you experience, whatever you hear and see around you and directed at you, you take as fact, you absorb it. You haven't got the cognitive ability to rationalize it. So you take it on as fact. And that's where so many of our limiting beliefs come from. And one of I talk about that in my book because I'm a born entrepreneur. I'm a compulsive entrepreneur, and for many years, and so much so that I did try and get a job many years ago, and in fact I had a number of jobs, but I was fired from every single job. I couldn't hold a job because I'm a non-conformist, so I had to start having my own businesses, and so, almost every one of my businesses have been unique, they've been pioneering, and they've made history. They've been incredibly successful, some greater than others. So one of the last businesses that I established a number of years ago, it crashed and burned in a big way, and it was just yet another one. And it was a global business. It was huge success. And it just crashed and burned. I make huge amount of money. I make huge amount of success, but I lose it. So I really got into the inquiry after that because I'd had enough. I had enough of doing this cycle. It's like Einstein, keep doing the same thing and don't expect another outcome. I mean, do keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So I went into the inquiry and said, what is going on? That led me onto an incredible path of research and learning, and I talk about it in the book. Some of my earlier experiences are, I started a small little shop at a very young age, selling secondhand bits and bobs that I got from people, in order to buy books. But the experience was that when my father found out, he was horrified, and he sort of likened it to begging. So whilst I was demonstrating entrepreneurship in order to pay for books, he was pretty violent and sent me off to my room, and I was shamed and embarrassed the family, and that got into my DNA on a cellular level, that making money was like begging, that making money was evil, that having businesses was bad, having success was bad. And until I addressed that and looked at it and decided to, you know what, that's not my belief. Money is really good. Money and spirituality are equally good. that I actually start to change the outcome and start building sustainable success. And that's just an example of the damage that we could be doing to ourselves as adults from stuff that happens when we're children, from even those that love us. And all my father was doing, now, my father was not a great guy at all. I mean, he was responsible for doing some pretty horrendous stuff to me. But, you know, in that instant, he obviously believed it was one of his beliefs that he thought what I was doing was wrong for whatever reason. And often a parent may or a teacher may say something or do something that you will interpret in a way that is one way and without understanding what the background is and what the reason why they're saying or doing what it is that you're doing, they're thinking is wrong or inappropriate. You see what I'm saying? So that's where you develop your self-limiting beliefs and damaging beliefs that actually don't belong with you. And that's one of the things I read about in the blog yesterday as well. I mean, you know, so many of these beliefs and these that you hold about yourself and this negative back chat that you have with yourself, they actually are beliefs that you've taken on from other people. They're not even yours. You realize, you sit back, where on earth did it come from? And you start seeing and remembering and recalling where it came from. You realize it's not yours. You can let it go.
Yeah. And it's really important that we do let it go.
That's the trick, though, is how you let it go. That's the trick. And that is something that took me on another journey. And one of the way, and I had a lot of stuff to let go, because having gone through almost 20 years of severe abuse and incarceration by my father, which is sexual and violent and mental, emotional abuse, I had to let go of so much. And how I learned to let go of it is what I call charging my challenges. And when I charge the challenges, it's basically an inquiry into understanding who I am, what my values are, and how did those experiences that I have give me the skills and tools to capitalize on my talents, on my passions, and on my purpose in life. You know, let's face it, stuff happens to all of us. It happens. And, you know, things that have happened. You can't change them. But what you can do at this moment in time, you can change the meaning you apply to that experience. You can do that. You have the power to do that. And when you change the meaning that you apply to it in that moment in time, and you start making that inquiry into how it has benefited you, how you have grown from it, what you have learned from it, you start to shift your perception around it, and you can creatively use it to create a life that is meaningful to you, a life that's inspiring to you, using the benefits you've gained from the challenges. And even severe, horrible challenges, they're horrible, but you can't change it. It's happened. So why not make the most of your life today? Why not change the meaning you apply to whatever it is that is holding you back, that is causing you pain, that is creating suffering in your life?
That is very powerful. I guess it's the steps that we need to take to release and change our life around. That's what becomes important, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, like, you go into a particular one of the things that I do, you go into a particular challenge that you've experienced, mm-hmm. and you say, well, from that challenge, what did I learn? What came out of it? What benefits? I have a whole exercise, in fact, it's called a whole value exercise, identifying your authentic self. And I actually go and take you step by step through that. That's a free program I have online. So you take it step by step and going into each and every challenge you've experienced and what did you gain out of it. But one of the things is that is so important about this process, about anything in this journey of self-growth. The one important, critical ingredient that you cannot do without, that it's you're wasting your time if you do not have it, and that is you've got to be prepared to be honest with yourself. That, and deeply, deeply honest with yourself, because it's the easiest thing in the world to blame outside, to blame others, to blame life, to blame society, blame parents, whatever it is. Whether they are responsible or not is irrelevant. But right now, it's not appropriate. Right now, you have the choice to change, adopt, and create the life you want. So you take responsibility and you own it, that moment in time. And that requires an incredible depth of honesty. That's the hardest part of the journey. You master that, the rest is easy.
You used the word blame. And as a parent myself, and I guess my kids can kick me around for it later on, but it's something, one of my beliefs, that I actually take that particular word away from them. It's one of, there's two words I take away from them, and blame and can't. They're not allowed, won't allow them to use those two words. Because the way I see it, blame doesn't allow you to internalize the responsibility of what's going on around you. You have a responsibility in it. And I can't, of course, is because if you use that word, you never get started. It's just, yeah. It defeats you before you even start. So, but it's something I feel really strongly about with blame, is that if you're blaming, then you're not allowing yourself to immerse in the responsibility of what you have to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes.
So. So this is all part of the backstory that led you to your latest project.
Yeah.
The digital bra, isn't exactly just a bra. It's a whole process of things. Right.
Yeah, essentially what we have done, well, it comes from a process that I have, because I mentioned earlier about charge or challenges, is where you delve into the incidences or experiences that you've had that you see are holding you back in life today, that are causing you pain or suffering or disempowerment, or you feel that you're not achieving what you want or would love in life, and you have things that you feel are truly holding you back, like lack of self-confidence, wanting to lose weight, or whatever it is that's holding you back. So we go into a process of an inquiry process of charge your challenges. Well, what about those experiences are benefiting you, are have given you tools, and are giving you actually incredible skills? And when you start to reframe that, you can start applying that in your life. Now, the next step after that is what I call capitalizing your challenges. And that is using every experience from your talents, your passions, your skills, your the tools and gifts you've been given from the challenges in your life, no matter what they have been, and applying all of that into your everyday life, into your vocation, into your career, into your business, into everything about your life. And from that, you get what is your purpose in life, and then what conduit can you use to create your personal wealth from that? Because in that, your highest point of potential income lies in your values and inspiration, and in where the tools and gifts that you have learned as a result of your challenges. So how could you encapsulate all that and create a conduit to create your wealth? Because we're all born with a God-given right to material and spiritual wealth equally. And that's what I call capitalizer challenges. So what the digital bra is my version of capitalizing my challenges. Because from my challenges and from my life experiences and my talents and passions is, as I said earlier, I love to empower people. Now, one of the greatest things in society today that is not empowering women, that is a massive pain on a daily basis for women, are bras. Bras that don't, over 85% of women wear bras that don't fit. It's impossible. It is a nightmare journey. You ask almost 100% of women, they'll tell you a nightmare story about bras and getting bras to fit that are comfortable. You think about it. A bra is a garment that you wear closest to your heart. And we're living in an era where we all know we need to open our heart. We need to live from our heart. How can you, when you're closed down and locked down and wearing something so incredibly uncomfortable, you're constantly fidgeting and hiding and, you know, fixing yourself. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. So what I decided to do was, well, in creating a bra that will fit perfectly, I am in that process learning to love my body, learning to love my breasts, and in the process empowering other women to do the same. Because these bras are not, they have not got wires, they're not padding, there's no push-ups. They're just beautiful, soft, feminine, luxurious, designer-made bras that fit 100% using cutting-edge technology. Because that's another thing, that when you capitalize your challenges, if part of that process is marrying your inner technology with outer technology. So what it is, what's your purpose, what conduit are you going to use to live that purpose and marry that with technology? Because technology today is a phenomenal enabler in our society. It will change society. It is changing society at a rate faster than we can even imagine. And technology is going to eradicate poverty. It's going to eradicate food shortages. It's going to clean up our oceans. It's just technology is incredible, and so many people are afraid of it, but it is a phenomenal enabler. So what I've done is I've married my conduit, which is to create bras with a perfect fit, using exponential technology. So with the team I've created, we have solved the issue of that's creating the problem for women and bras for the past 100 plus years. So what we've done is we've created an app which you download, and you measure, you're scanned, you measure yourself using scanning technology, and then from our range, you choose which bra you would like, which is most suited to you, and in the background, the pattern gets adjusted to fit you 100% perfectly, and it goes off, it gets made, and sent to your door. So you never have to go into a shop again. You never have to try on 100 different bras hoping that you'll get the right fit. It's completely revolutionizing bras.
Yeah. It's funny. The thing is, in order to go into a shop that actually measures you and has a multitude of different styles and shapes to fit your needs, the average woman can't afford to go in there.
But even with that, bras, generally speaking, are made having taken just 3 measurements.
Mm-hmm.
When you take, let's say, for example, using the traditional measuring system of a 34B woman, you get 2 34B women, they'll be completely different, because if those 34B measurements are based on 3 measurements. But there are so many other measurements that actually make up those 2 women. So
right.
Our system, we take over 100 measurements.
Wow. That's...
So it's a completely different paradigm to
yeah.
standard bra making.
Wow. Okay, we need to jump to another break here, and hopefully I'm a little more in control with this next one, and then we'll get back to you. Okay, hold on.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
And we're back with Judy.
Hi there.
Hi. Okay, you were getting into 100 measurements as opposed to 3 measurements.
Yes. So
that's mind-boggling. So
it is. I still can't believe it, but it is. And the beautiful thing is, we've managed to get the technology so advanced that even women in wheelchairs, we can scan them accurately as well. So that means. And as you can imagine, for women in wheelchairs, wearing a bra that doesn't fit is incredibly uncomfortable as well.
Yeah. I can't imagine having something constantly all day poking me in the ribs or twisting parts of my body in the wrong direction. Whatever that feeling would be, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. I mean, there's been research now for many years on the ill effects of wearing a bra that doesn't fit. There's numerous of them, and one of the things I was quite horrified when I read it, actually. And you're wearing something across your band under your breasts, so the band around where you that holds the bra onto your chest, essentially. Having pressure there, and this is also where a lot of women wear bras that are too tight. Having pressure there, in fact, any pressure there, will affect a woman's ability to go to the toilet. And that is a problem that women all over the world have, is being able to go to the toilet. And, you know, so many women spend their life on laxatives. So my question is, you know, how bad are we making it by wearing bras that are too tight? It's just the amount of research that's gone into the ill effects as well. I mean, wearing wires in this day and age with all this Wi-Fi technology, you're attracting those EMFs to your breasts, very, very tender part of your body. And, you know, your breasts contain lymphatic glands that need to drain. But by locking them into antiquated wire-encased piece of apparel, you're trapping those glands. So one of the things that we do is we encourage women at the end of the day to take off their bra, and we supply a very, very light, soft Lycra sort of sports top for you to replace it for the evening, because we need to give our breasts time to just hang, literally. Mm-hmm. Literally, just hands. They don't always need support.
That's something that I've heard from. I have a lot of friends who are women, and they all say, "Well, if I don't wear this, that eventually they're going to hang to my kneecaps."
That is something, and it's a old wives' tale. It's that doesn't actually happen. Whether you wear or you don't wear a bra, it's not going to really make a difference. Some people, it can be uncomfortable. It hurts. It actually hurts not to wear a bra. That does happen. But if you don't wear a bra, it doesn't mean that you're going to get droopy breasts. Actually, what happens is quite the opposite. Your breasts, because they're given them so much time to relax and just be as they're meant to be, they actually get quite firmer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, but it is a hugely misunderstood fact.
I've figured that in 10,000 years of evolution, that it's only. Only in the past 100 years that the bra has existed, and I'm sure that I guess I'll take it from the male perspective that we found beauty within a woman, whether her breasts hung or not. Let's go that way.
Yeah. And there's a lovely conversation happening at the moment, actually, and I've seen a couple of men on Facebook and social media talking about this, one of them being Kevin Bacon, saying it is ridiculous that a man can walk around topless or be topless on a movie, but a woman can't. What makes a woman's breasts or nipples any different to a man? Since when did it become so sexualized that they need to be hidden and reshaped and puffed up in push-up bras and stuff like that? So it's just an interesting conversation going on at the moment, and I'm fascinated by it. And the fact that so many men are engaging in that conversation as well, it's incredible. I mean, let's face it, breasts are there to nurture, to grow life. They're the most magnificent part of a woman's body, one of the most magnificent parts of a woman's body in terms of life-giving and nurture. But yet we, over the past 100, 200 years, it's become incredibly sexualized and demand to hide and tease with. So interesting conversation. In fact, I think it's actually called, there's a hashtag which I saw Kevin Bacon did on a video the other day called Free the Nipple, which I think is like quite funny.
Hashtag Free the Nipple.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add a statement to this. The sexualized part isn't necessarily sexualized as it is that men, when they see a woman with her breasts out in the open, they feel like they've lost part of their own power, and they become afraid. It's a fear, not of what a woman can do because of her body. Men have a fear of that.
But that is a learned fear. That's a socialized fear. Because you read the scripts from the ancients, or you go out into the tribes that still amongst us today in South America and Africa, and the women don't wear, the men don't wear tops.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a learned fear. Careful. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's something that. Men in our society, we need to get over, and because it's also one of those things that are holding holding our society from becoming completely, from truly having equality.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree mm-hmm. with that totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's with this whole project. It seems like this is what you're trying to achieve is equality within our society.
I suppose in effect, yes, but more specifically for me, the language is more about empowering women. Mm-hmm. So a woman, if she's wearing a garment, an undergarment that is 100% comfortable, she can just put her clothes on over it, and she doesn't have to fidget and worry and stress and be uncomfortable as she goes about her day doing what she does. That's empowering, you know, that taking away the distraction of an uncomfortable bra will give you so much more energy, so much more confidence, so much more self-esteem as well. And that's more my goal is, and in the process, when she's putting on this bra, the digital bra, it's a reminder to love her body as it is, love her breasts as they are. I mean, I can give you another horrendous statistic that I read a research document recently that it's about 80% of women who had, in this particular research that was done possibly about 5 or 6 years ago, almost 80% of women who had breast reductions did so because they were not wearing a bra that fit. And that, to me, is a horrific and a very sad statistic. So if they had a bra that was comfortable, they wouldn't have had to have had the breast reduction. And that's just nice. Not to say that there's some women that would have a breast reduction and feel great about it and would have had, even if they have a bra that fits. And that's okay. That's a choice we all have. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that 80%, that's a very high percent, who had breast reductions that wouldn't have had they been able to find a bra that fits.
That's an amazing statistic. And I can see why you're determined to change this with a statistic like that, right? So
I hope so. Yes, that's my intention is to change it. And even if women do wear the digital bra and they still want a breast reduction, that's great. That's wonderful. I mean, that's everybody's choice. It's a choice we all have at every given moment in time. We all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that no one can take from us.
Right. And you actually mentioned about internal choices and things like that. In the blog post I found on LinkedIn, I can't find the exact wording that you used, but you did mention that that no matter how horrendous the situation becomes, that those choices can't be taken from us.
Yeah, that's right. I think what you may be referring to is I quoted Viktor Frankl from his book Man's Search for Meaning. And Viktor Frankl was a survivor, a psychologist who was a survivor of a couple of concentration camps during the Second World War. And in this book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about the different ways in which his fellow prisoners dealt with and coped with the horrendous experience that they were having. And the difference, and when he could tell the difference between those that just literally gave up and those that tried to change the system and those that decided to, who made the decision to choose, as he says to quote, they opted for freedom, that they could apply the meaning to what was going on to them at that moment in time, and they could take ownership and the best that they could in that moment in time to those experiences. They couldn't change it, they were prisoners, but they could apply a certain meaning to it and not succumb to the horrors of it And in their way, that was a very empowering state of being for them. And that's what I'm saying is that in that same way, no matter what we've been through, no matter what has happened to us, we have the freedom to choose the meaning to everything that we have been through, we have done, we've not done, and what we can do right now.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. So can you give everybody the best way to find you and find the digital bra?
Well, sure. Thank you so much. It's been an awesome hour chatting to you. It really has been amazing. I really appreciate being on your show, Michael. Thank you so much. And people can get hold of me on my website, which is my name, judyvannekerk.com. And on Facebook, which is Judy Van Niekerk as well. And the digital bra is thedigitalbra.com. And I'm also launching it in I think it's 2 weeks, just about 2 weeks from now. And we have some really incredible, incredible launch deals. You know, like 80, 90% off the price when we go live. So, so if you sign up to our list on the website, we will notify you as soon as you go live, and you can get one of these incredible deals.
I will be sure to pass that information along to all of my friends, all of my lady friends, to make sure that they have this information for about the digital bra from you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much, Michael.
All right. Thank you, and I hope you have a great day, and we'll have you back on again.
That'd be lovely. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
And that's about it for us today on Community Living. Please stay tuned to the next show that's coming up on your station, or if you're listening to a podcast, well, you've come to the end of it. So thank you again, and we will see you tomorrow for the half-hour show, and we'll see you next Thursday again for the one-hour show. Thank you.